say you are. You will always be who you say you are. This morning we want to absorb as much as your presence that we can absorb. We want to experience you, Lord, as much as you would allow us to experience of you this morning. This morning, Lord, we want to be able to think and focus on you and you alone. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your continued move in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, in our kids. You are the wonderful one. You are the beautiful one. We long for you. You are our groom. We are your bride. Desire to be with you. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Well, welcome again this morning. I tell you, this is one of those mornings where you just kind of, you just kind of reflect a little bit on who God is, you know? And it just kind of gets your heart. I don't mean to get emotional with you guys, but tell you what, we serve a God that wants us completely, you know? You sense that? He doesn't just want our minds. He doesn't just want our, our obedience. He wants everything from us. Everything. Everything. I mean, no aspect of our life that he doesn't want. He wants us to be just so enamored by him, so... So we serve a really good God. Well, this morning we're going to continue our series on courageous. It starts in the home. As I was preparing for this message, something that came to mind was something that happened in the 1960s. There was this family, these two adults, a young men with their three kids, that wanted to experience rafting in Oregon, in a place called Dillon Falls. And now, if you don't know anything about that part of the world, Oregon, Dillon Falls is one of the most difficult, treacherous rivers you'll find in that area, with the Deschutes River that's there. And so this family decided to go and be adventurous and grab the rafts and go there. Now, the way they measure the risk factor there, it's like at the highest. It's like a 6 risk factor. And so this family decided they were going to go out there and be adventurous. And as they went out into this river that they knew very little about, the river stream started taking them every which way, and the dangerous part of the river just became even more and more dangerous. And as they flowed through the river, one of the kids could just barely with his hands was able to grab into a rock. And as this child grabbed into the rock, the other two kids grabbed onto him. But by the time everything was done and said and over with, two people had perished, the two adults. But the kids had made it. And as they were asked, you know, what was the difference maker for them that they survived the harsh waters, their response was that they clung to that rock. Well, guess what? Our culture is like this mad river that seeks to take us every which it wants to. It's the culture of our day that just kind of grabs a hold of our families, and it begins to move us in different directions. And for us, as families, we have to think through, what rock are we holding on to so that we can survive this river that we call culture? This morning, I want to focus a little bit on how to fight for your kids. Not how to fight with your kids, because fighting with your kids comes natural. And I don't know about you, maybe I'm the only sinner here, but man, fighting with your kids, it's extremely natural. You wake up with this certain ability to be able to fight with them. I know, it's like you have this ability, and you know what? It's one of your strongest abilities, so you want to fight with them. But this morning, I want us to be able to learn not how to fight against them, but how to fight for them. Last week, we talked about how to fight for your marriages, how to really fight for your marriage in a way that you can have a long-lasting marriage for the years to come. Well, today's kids. Now, if you're here this morning, you're thinking, oh, no, kids. I don't even have kids. I don't even want kids. I'm not even married. You know, maybe one day you will. And so this is a great opportunity for you to just kind of glean and be able to say, wow, that's profound truth, and not be like, man, it's profound truth, not because he says it, but because I know that it's true because I'm living it. And so that's a word of encouragement. You might be already a grandparent. You're thinking, what does this have to do with me? Well, now, if you're a grandparent, you can kind of look at your kids and your grandkids, and you're like, wow, I can really, you know, you're in the comfort zone right now because for you, it's easy. You get the kids for a day or two, maybe, and then you give them a lot of lollipops, a lot of sugar, and then right as they're at the peak of their catastrophe zone, you send them off to us. And so maybe do not, this morning you're here as a grandparent, and this would be a great opportunity for you to kind of see a little bit of what God's design for parenting is, and maybe along the way you would be able to help your kids if they allow you to do that. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. So go there with me. This is one of those passages where last week we talked about Ephesians chapter 5, and this is the continuation of that. And this is one of those passages that seems to capture a lot about parenting. So go there with me. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now, teens or kids, if you hear this morning, don't cringe at some of the bad words that are here or that you'll consider bad words here, like children, obey your parents. That's right. if you have kids, this is an amen moment. You know, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. And this is where the children say, hallelujah, amen, you know. Don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up to the training and instruction of the Lord. I want to stop there for just a moment. Just like I did last week, I want to talk about some reality checks, some things that we have to put into check. And last week we said something that for a lot of you, after the service, you felt like you hit it right in the nail. And that was the statement that I said. I said, what if marriage wasn't there for your what? Happiness, but is there for your holiness. Well, parenting is very, very similar to that. What if parenting is not there primarily for your happiness, but is there primarily for your holiness? Now, if you're a parent, and you're here, you're thinking, no, duh. You know that that's the truth. That parenting brings this sense, that brings all the garbage out of that's already in there for you to wrestle with. You know that to be true. If not, get home one night after working a long day and find yourself with kids running around. And the first thing out of your head is like, well, everybody please sit down and be quiet. And that's putting it nicely. You know that parenting is designed less for your happiness and more for your holiness. It doesn't mean that it doesn't bring you happiness. That's not what it means. But it means that what if God primarily called you to be a parent so that he could make you more like Jesus Christ along the way? In what other relationship do you really have to learn patience if not parenting? I mean, even more than marriage. Parenting tests you, puts you to the limit, to the breaking point, right? Maybe I'm the only one here. What other relationship other than marriage and parenting, and particularly parenting, puts you to the test where you're having to butt heads with your child over and over again, and you begin to realize, maybe I am a little selfish. Maybe I am a little impatient. So that's a no-brainer, right? That's, you know, for most of us, intuitively, we know that that's true. But what if parenting is not there primarily for their happiness, but their holiness? Going back to this passage in chapter 6, verse 4, notice that it doesn't say at any point, it doesn't say, listen, parents, I want you to come over here, bring your hot chocolate, let's talk about this, how it's going to look. Listen. You're so focused, your kids have to be happy. I don't know about you, but I didn't see it in there. As I look at Scripture, I never see the concept of your kids' happiness being primarily or the primary focus of parenting. We never see it. But what does it say in verse 4? Prepare them for the instruction of God's word. Prepare them for connecting with God, to know about God, to connect with Him in relationship with Him. That's holiness. Now, for some of us, that might come as a statement, because in our culture, we go so counter that. Because in our culture, we make the happy mistakes. When we think that children, the primary focus of our parenting is happiness, guess what we start doing it? This is what we start doing. We say we destroy all sense of good sense and margin, and we start focusing so much on the good old American dollar. Because after all, many of us see it this way. We're like, well, I didn't have stuff growing up, so I want my kids to have what I didn't what? Help the boy out. What I didn't have. And we forget that when we were growing up and we just had a box of Chiclets and some little toys, you know, we were pretty happy, weren't we? And yet now we've bought into this idea that somehow they need to have more because we didn't have more, and we want them to be extremely happy. And yet here we don't see Paul doing that at all. It's just, wait, listen. No. We've got it all wrong. It's not primarily about their happiness, though we want them to be happy. It's primarily about their holiness, about them knowing Jesus and being in relationship with Him. And that's why we see that in verse 4. Training them and instructing them about God. But the other mistake we do is that we give up authority way too quick. Isn't that the case? Have you ever been in those awkward situations where you're in the restaurant and your kid is acting like the devil? The horns come out, the pitchfork, all of it. And it's like, wow, and it's after church too. So you're coming from a real high, you go to the restaurant, maybe at the rodeo, and your kids are just running around right around the tables. They're going every which way except sitting down eating their enchilada. You know, and you're like, man. Then you start fuming through your ears, and it's like, ah. And then we start thinking, oh, wait a minute. He doesn't want, you know, a tortilla with butter. He wants the whole, you know, menu. And we're like, we need to have him happy. So let's give him what he wants or she wants. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Is that the goal? Their happiness? And all of a sudden, we release our authority over them as the leaders in the home. And we say, you know what? Now they're the authority. Now they're going to lead us. We're going to do and shape and do whatever they want us to do instead of us leading in the home. And you begin to release your authority, because sometimes when you pursue happiness, when you see it as happiness is the end all of parenting versus the byproduct. And we've released that authority that God has given us. And all of a sudden, they're really the bosses in there and not us. But also another reality check is this. Parents have a great influence, but they don't have ultimate control. Parents have great influence, but don't have ultimate control. Notice in verse 3, we see that. It says, it gives the command to the kids, obey your parents, honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise. And then verse 3 says, so that it may go well with you, and then you may enjoy long life on earth. See, we have influence as parents, but ultimately, they control. In other words, no matter what I say, they will have the final say. I know if you're a parent, you're thinking, no, I have the final say. That's it. Done deal. But here we see that at the end of the day, it's contingent upon them. Them enjoying life in the future is contingent upon whether or not they obey and then honor their fathers and mothers. They carry that burden. Who's the fault if the child is rebelling? Guess what? They are. They take full ownership of it. We have influence, but we can't control. We cannot control what they're going to do ultimately. The only thing that as parents that you can do is you can be part of the launching phase. And you can be there with them right now, right here, and be able to pour into them enough so that one day you can speak enough truth to them that they will actually listen to you. So how do you increase the odds if you're a parent? How do you increase the odds of success? How do you get into the battle without getting into a battle with them? The first one is this. A couple of things. The first one is fight for your strong marriage. Fight for a strong marriage. If you go back to the previous verses, it says, however each one, in verse 5, verse 33, it says, however each one of you also must love his wife and he loves as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. In other words, have a good relationship where you are pouring into each other. fight for a strong marriage. The greatest gift that you and I, if you're a parent, can give to your kids is to have a strong marriage. It's to have a red-hot, ooh-la-la kind of marriage. That's right. It's to be able to have, you know, have you ever heard this expression? Well, maybe some of you, vacations, we know that, right? Vacations, you go on vacation. And you have staycations, which I know it's a weird thing. Staycations is you stay at home on vacation, which is really no vacation at all. But anyway, staycations and vacations. You know what we have in our household? We have vacation, and the kids have staycation at the same time. In other words, what we do is we're going to go, you know, to vacation, and you guys are going to stay with your mother-in-law. Oh, with their grandma. You know, we're going to stay with your with the person that will care for you over a week. We want to hear that you're okay, and that's awesome, and it's great, but you're not coming with us. It's a vacation from them, you know? That's what it is. You got to work on your marriage, red-hot, spicy marriage. That's the greatest gift that you could give your kids. That, and also you in parenting, being all about Jesus Christ. That's the greatest gift you can give. A red-hot relationship with each other and a red-hot relationship with Jesus Christ. And you have those two things, and you increase your odds of being able to fight for your kids, not fight with them. You know, we tell our kids, you're invited to the Elizondo household. And by that, what we mean is that we've invited them to be part of our Elizondo home, but guess what? One day they're going to leave. And if Marisa and I are not on the same page, that it's us first and then them, then one day what's going to happen is when they're out and about, there is no us. Yeah, there is no us. It's hey, pleasure to meet you. What's your name? I forgot your name. You know, who are you? You got to focus on your relationship first. At all costs, focus on relationship first. And then that's why chapter 6 comes along and it says, okay, Paul says, okay, listen. I want you to work on each other first. I want you to respect, wives, I want you to respect the authority and leadership that your husband is giving, but wives, I want you to, husbands, I want you to love your wives. And he's saying, focus on each other. And he spends multiple verses just working on that. And it says, okay, now that you've got a well-established truth, which is fight strong for your marriage, let's talk about parenting. But we forget that, don't we? What generally happens is like it becomes all about the kids. And it's we're focused, we're chasing them wherever, whatever activity they're doing at the time. And we don't really focus on us. And once that happens, the foundations begin to crack. And then over time, their foundation begins to crack too. Number two, you got to model respect for authority. You got to model respect for authority. Notice in verse 1 and 2, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And we say automatically to that, amen, hallelujah, put it on the walls, you know, preach this sermon again next week and again this week. Hopefully the kids in kids' church are hearing this message. But fast forward, because then it says, verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. What's the best way to exasperate your children? It's to tell your kids, you've got to follow authority, but I don't have to. That's the best way for your kids to be like, whoa, to be exasperated and to be like, wait a minute. So you're asking me to follow you where you lead me, but when it comes to you as a parent, following the leadership that you have in your life, you just don't do that. And the quickest way for a kid to be exasperated is to be like, this is bogus. It doesn't work that way, right? I remember growing up, and I forget a lot, but not too many things, but I remember growing up where I used to come, and I used to be at the house, and my dad was an alcoholic, and, you know, unashamed at it. And so we would be at home, and he would get to the house, and he would have a beer in his hand. He would be like, Jesse, he would say it like this, Mijo, let me just tell you something. I better never, ever, ever find you with a beer in your hand drinking. And by the way, you better never, ever be smoking either. And you better be faithful to your wife. And he had like lipstick on his, you know, in his collar. And I would be thinking, what are you smoking? Well, we know what you're smoking, but what are you doing, you know? It's like he's saying, follow. I'm going to ask the elders to come up here. We are going to talk to you, and Steve Scott as well. we're doing an initiative, and I want the guys to share a little bit about it.
A couple of weeks ago, we as a church provided you the opportunity for a movie night to see the movie Courageous. For those of y'all who have not seen it, it's the story about five men and how the way they were raising or interacting with their children was a direct result of how their fathers interacted with them. And the whole story is that God expects more from us.
You know, over the course of the last couple of weeks, we've been focusing on the family and saying that each family needs to be courageous. They need to be courageous not only in their walk, their family walk with God, but also being courageous with their marriages. This week, be courageous with their parenting. And over the next couple of weeks, you know, how to be courageous with making right choices in family. And then how to be courageous fathers as well. And the hope with this is to build up, encourage the family unit. And so, but that has been very, very intentional. Tom, will you?
On the back of your bulletin, you'll see the resolution that was put forth in the movie. In the resolution, there are God-honoring things like honor, forgiveness, personal responsibility, and faithfulness. As your elders, we're challenging you and ourselves to come to a deeper understanding of these principles and implement them in your lives.
In two weeks on Father's Day, we're going to give our men an opportunity to make the resolution before God and to their families. This is going to be a special day because we're going to make a resolution to do what God expects, wants, and expects from us. Because we think this is going to be a very meaningful time, we're going to ask you to do something different. If you, when you pray about it, if you decide that you're going to take the resolution, men, we want you to come in your Sunday best. I don't know, I'm going to have to dust off my suit and get it out. But we think this is a day to honor God in a very special way. We're a come-as-you-are church, but we're going to do something different on that day to honor that resolution. Now, you're going to have a chance, men, to come forward, to go through and accept the different parts of the resolution. After we do that, we're going to break up, and we've got going to have some stations where you'll be given a copy of the resolution to sign, along with a couple of witnesses. And these things are beautiful, so you can take them home and hang them on the wall if you want to. So we ask you to think about the challenge, read that, go over that. But that day we want everyone, actually, not just the men, but the families to support. So we ask you to invite your families over the next week or so. Mm-hmm. So those who would like to come and support you. And after we do, you get your resolution, we're going to take a picture of you for your family to commemorate the moment. So this is going to be a very special, unique day in the history of our church. We haven't seen many people in suits here in our church before, do we? And we don't think that is extremely important, except when we make a special commitment. So we're challenging you to be here and be ready to move for God. You men. Now this is men with families, men without families, just male adults who are ready to make that commitment to God.
Look behind your bulletin, and it has the resolution, men, that you can look at. As we conclude today, just something came to mind and in terms of initiative. And it was funny because in our house, we don't give our kids, I mean, we tell our kids that they don't just get stuff, you know. Sometimes they got to earn it, and they got to work hard for it. And it's funny, we're trying to cut back on cost, and so there's a $10 bill on top of the table. And that $10 bill is for whoever would get to the yard, you know, cut the yard the quickest. And usually now Marisa and I will fight for it, you know. And so Marisa was really sick this week, and so she couldn't go out there really. And I couldn't get to it until Saturday. And so Marisa called me, she's like, guess who's cutting the yard? I was like, oh no, child slavery. Caleb, you know, who's 80 years old. He has one of those push mowers that electric, and they just kind of, you just kind of hold on. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, please nobody call CPS, first of all. But the second of all that I thought of, about is the importance of building character, the importance of taking the initiative, and for our kids from early on to be able to say, I want ownership of this. I want to contribute. I want to be part of this family. I want to be able to work hard here. And with the resolution, in essence, what we're doing is like, men, will you step up as well and say, I want to contribute. I want to take ownership. I want to take the initiative. Let's pray. Lord Father, we love you so much. We thank you so much for everything. Lord, we thank you that somehow the way we parent says something about your relationship with us. Father, we love you. We thank you. And this morning we want to give you all the honor and all the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.